Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
One strike pitch. Trail a line drive. Fair ball. Left field line. Aviles scores. There's Dellitz being waved around. He's going to score. Matty Trio at third, a triple. Phillies lead at 7-5. What a comeback by this great bunch of Phillies.
Now that's the way to welcome in a guest. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillette joined here at Chickies. With Ruben Amaro, you were live at Chickies at Pizza Sales for the Red October Rally. Nothing goes better with Phillies baseball than crab fries and ice-cold Budweiser online at ChickiesatPizza.com. And nothing goes better than Phillies conversation and Larry Boa. Larry joins us right now as we get set for Red October on Saturday, Game 1. Larry, how you doing today?
Everything's good. Everything's good. Went to the inter-squad game yesterday and very impressed the way they approached you know, that's very difficult to get in and face your own pitchers and everything, but there was a lot of intensity in that yesterday. So I'm glad I was out there, and the guys responded very well.
I know he didn't pitch a whole lot, but what did Ranger look like? I know he was only out there for a couple of innings. How did he look?
Ranger looked really good. His command was real good. He has a little extra life on his fastball. He only threw two innings, two strikes, pitched ahead. I mean, it was a very positive sign to see him come off the mound. And he said he felt great. So we'll see how that plays out.
Larry, we're going to find out tonight, Mets or Brewers. Do you have a preference? Do you think one's a better matchup? What is your take on who might come in here Saturday?
You know, that's a tough call because they're two different teams. The Brewers, exceptional defense, a lot of speed, good bullpen. The Mets, a lot of slug in them. They've been playing very good. You know, I asked a couple of the guys yesterday. They didn't care. They did not care at all who they play. There's a lot of confidence in that clubhouse. It's been going on since February. Believe me, they've been talking about what happened last year. So I feel real good about what's going on. There's no question about that.
Larry, what's your thought on the decision Topper's going to make here for that game number two starter? It's going to be Sanchez or it's going to be Nola? You know, you look at the home road splits for Sanchez. He was much, much better in Philadelphia. But Nola's been the guy, right? Two straight postseasons. He's the number two starter. What do you think there, Sanchez, Nola, for game two and three?
First of all, I don't know which way they're going to lean, but I do know that Rob, I was talking with Rob yesterday, and they brought up about how important Sanchez, the comfort zone with him at home is unbelievable. I don't think Nola cares where he pitches. So if he pitches second, that's great. If he pitches the third game, that would be great. Nola has ice water in his veins. If he pitches against Milwaukee or the Mets, I think he's had success against both. So It's going to be a call that Rob and the staff are going to have to make. I could see if he leaned towards Sanchez because of the splits, and I can also see if he wants to go two up, because I don't think right now the way Wheeler's pitching, I wouldn't want to have that task of trying to hit Wheeler. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
What's your thoughts on the rest versus Russ conversation? Because that's always a good one.
You know what? I think there is some merit to that. I think it helps the pitchers more than anything, cause especially the relievers on that. They get a little rest. The hitters, maybe the timing a little bit for a couple innings. I think the biggest issue is going to be Saturday at 4 o'clock of the shadows. So hopefully it's a cloudy day. If there's shadows there, it's very difficult to pick up spin, and you might see some zeros in the first 4 or 5 innings. But other than that, I think it favors the pitcher, especially the relief pitchers who've had a lot of innings this year.
Larry Boa joining us here for our Red October rally as we get set for the Phillies. NLDS, first game, as Larry just mentioned, 4 o'clock Saturday, and maybe it's going to be difficult for those hitters with the shadows coming in. Larry, another thing that was brought up yesterday was Castellanos, and actually this morning when Topper was on with the morning show today. You know, Alec Bohm was the cleanup hitter on this team for a lot of the year, and then he got banged up in September, and they put Castellanos in there, and then they kind of kept him in there. What's your thought on Nick as the cleanup hitter behind Bryce Harper? If you were writing the lineup card out, would you go Bohm cleanup, or would you leave Castellanos where he's been the last couple weeks?
You know, I don't think you can lose either way, but you're right. Castellanos has had an unbelievable second half. But whoever hits behind Harp, it doesn't matter if there's a base open. You know, when you go in the clubhouse, you say, don't let this guy beat you, and Harp's name's out there. So you could have one of the best hitters in the world hitting after Harp. They're not going to let Harp beat him. So it doesn't really matter. But Casty, the way he's been swinging the bat, he hit another home run yesterday. I know it was an inter-squad game. Bohm hit the ball hard a couple times. So either way you go there. But I really believe that whatever team we play, they're not going to let Harp beat them. There's no question, Mom, especially with an open base.
Larry, what's your thought on Austin Hayes? It's been a weird couple months, unfortunately. You know, he got hurt with the injury in Los Angeles, and then he got sick, and we're happy he's healthy now. But it's almost like we really haven't got to watch him play, and now we go back to when they made the trade. How's it going to work out with the three outfielders, Rojas, Marsh, Hayes? Do you think they could make Hayes an everyday guy, or is he a platoon guy as we go into October?
Well, I think when they got him, they could make him an everyday guy. You know, he's had a couple tough injuries lately. He swung the bat good yesterday. He's got a real good arm in left field, as does Marsh. It's going to be a matter of if he wants the best defensive team out there. You know, he's got some decisions to make. They're good decisions. It's a good deep ball club. So either way he goes, if he wants to start him out there and rest Marsh if there's a tough lefty, there's some options there. And these options aren't just, well, maybe this guy can do good. We got a deep team. There's no question about that. I look at whoever we play. I'm not really worried about any team in the National League. I feel that good about our ball club as long as we go out and do what we're supposed to do. I think pitching-wise, bullpen-wise, offense top to bottom, I think this team's the best in the National League.
Larry Boa joining us here as our Red October rally from Chickies continues. Larry, you mentioned the NL, so we do know the other side of the bracket. That's finalized. It's the Padres after they knock out the Braves against the Dodgers. Larry, what's your thought on that series? That should be a good one. And, boy, I'm impressed with what the Padres have put together. I know they don't have the payroll. They don't have quite the team, the names as the Dodgers, but that's a good team.
I'm really impressed with San Diego. Not only their lineup, Ariza's done a great job when they acquired him. Their bullpen's very deep. I would think their bullpen, they can match up with anybody just like our bullpen can. A big question mark for the Dodgers, obviously, is who's going to be the starting pitching. We know they can hit the ball. They catch the ball fairly well. I think it's going to be a good series. And it wouldn't shock me if San Diego went there and won, and it wouldn't shock me if the Dodgers continued their dominance over them. Again, I'm not really concerned about either one of those teams. I really feel strong about this ball club right now. The attitude's off the chart. You know, ever since spring training, I've been with them a lot, especially all the home games and all the spring training. These guys are playing with a chip on their shoulder, and I'm ready for this baby to get started on Saturday, and I think it's important that when Wheeler takes the mound, you got to get a W. You have to get a W with Wheeler on the mound. And I think that's the biggest thing going the first game. There's no question in my mind.
Larry, you've been around this a long time, player, manager, here, around the game for so long. Why do you think the home field advantage is so good here, is so great here? And, you know, other games, you know, watching other games, the last couple days, Ruben was down there in Baltimore. It just didn't have the buzz. It didn't have the atmosphere. It just, it feels different here, Larry.
It's a passionate fan base. It's just different. I can't even explain. I've been with the Yankees, I've been out with L.A. It's a different atmosphere. They rally behind their team. I wouldn't want to be a young team coming in here. If by chance Milwaukee does win tonight, they have a lot of young kids, and they have no idea what they're in for if they come in here. And you know, and I look at the Dodgers without the real good starting pitching, I wouldn't want to come here. San Diego has matched our attendance, but the intensity level with the fans, it's nowhere near. They're a very polite 40-plus thousand, and we can get very nasty to the opposing team when they come in here. So I never thought there was an advantage in baseball, but I definitely, the last 3 or 4 years, there's a definite advantage playing at the bank. There's no question in my mind.
It is special. Larry, I got to ask, let's end with this, and I want your perspective as a former manager, but also a shortstop, especially one that had the kind of glove you did. Larry, I'm thinking ahead here. You know, let's just play this out. It's a big game, game five, a game seven. Phillies have a lead in the ninth inning. It's, you know, 4-3. It's a close game. Larry, do you think there'd be any thought, and do you think there should be any thought, and how do you think it would go over if there was a thought, to, hey, we have Edmundo Sosa here, a great defensive player. Trey, you're obviously our guy, but do you think there'd be any thought to taking Trey off the field for defense for Edmundo in a big spot if there's a lead late in the game?
No thought whatsoever. That wouldn't even be an issue. The Trey Turner's our shortstop. Doesn't matter if it's the first inning, the 15th inning. The only way he would be out of that game is if he got hurt. There's no way that would happen. Never.
All right, Larry, we appreciate it. And it's going to be a very, very fun month, Larry. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll talk again soon. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
All right, guys, take care.
There he goes. Larry Boa there, who's all ready for Red October. 215-592-9494. Live from Chickies at Pizza, South Philly, for the Red October Rally. Nothing goes better with Philly's baseball than crab fries and ice-cold Budweiser. Online, chickiesandpeets.com here. So we asked everyone out there, do you want the Mets? And Hugh here is not really wanting the Mets.
I don't want the fan base.
Well, guess what?
I don't want the fan.
Most are with you, Hugh. 62% on our Midday Show Twitter poll said no, they don't want the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the fan base. I think it's a little bit tougher for the Brewers to travel here, and they won't be as loud, and it's just – we just have a peaceful beatdown of the Brewers.
Well, you know, the other thing that Larry brought up there that's interesting, Ruben, is the youth of Milwaukee. You know, like, the Mets play here all the time, right? There's a familiarity with their players in Philadelphia and the crowd. That's an interesting point, Ruben. If it is Milwaukee, a lot of young guys, and, you know, some of those guys have only played, you know, a few games ever in Philadelphia. I mean, their best player might be their, 20-year-old Jackson Churio, and he looks like a special player. But this is an interesting atmosphere if you've never really played in this environment.
It is, and each team poses its own set of problems. I mean, the fact that they are so good defensively and so athletic, and the fact that they really are in a situation where they may not know any better.
Right.
I mean, some of the young players just say, you know what, I'm just going to go out there and play. It doesn't matter where I'm playing.
Just happy to be here.
Yeah, just happy to be here. And then they play pretty loose. And so because they have really nothing to lose in this situation, I think that there's that element. Now, there's also the element that these guys get a little tight because it's a tough atmosphere to play in. But, you know, in some ways, I think that if it is the Milwaukee Brewers are going to be coming in saying, okay, we're sort of underdogs. There's nothing to lose here, and let's just go play and have some fun. And so, I mean, each team, whether it's the Mets, whether it's the Brewers, they each pose a real issue for the Phillies, and they're just going to have to play really good baseball to win.
Self in North Philly is up. What's up, Self? Self going once. Sorry, put Self back on hold. Self will be ready in a second. You know who's ready? He's always ready. Black Gritty, who we just saw here down in South Philly. What's up, Black Gritty?
Joey Bear, Hugh, what it do? Ruby, Ruby, Roo. Let me tell you something. I'm not scared of nobody, Hugh. I'm not scared of nobody. It's the postseason. Apparently, everybody's good. All right? I watched the Mets go out there and split with the punk Braves and then celebrate with each other afterwards like it was middle school softball. I'm like, what are we doing? We're supposed to be out here trying to hunt and these guys are out here hugging it up. Bryce would never. Thank you for choosing me, Bryce. Thanks for having competitive nature in your heart. What am I scared of? The Mets fans, I want them to cry. The Mets always do what Mets do. They bumble, they stumble, they fumble. I don't care about the Mets. I don't care about the Brewers. Don't care about themselves. I don't know how you don't sell out in your playoffs. I mean, look at all them empty seats. I mean, you're right, you. They don't care. But the Mets fans, I want to crush the Mets. I hate the Mets. I hate their fans. I hate New York City. It's Red October. I don't want to hear nothing. You know what's cute? When you look around all the other teams in the postseason and it says Red October on their chest, guess what? We're the only red team left in the postseason. And you know what that means, Hugh?
What that mean, Black Gritty?
Red October!
Let's do it. It's hard to find them hoodies, too.
Let's get it.
You got it, Black Gritty. You mean the hoodie from yesterday we got?
Yeah, yeah. I went to the store yesterday. I need to probably go to the team store. The team store. But yeah, I tried to find a couple.
Because you're trying to exchange it for the one
well, no,
size
no,
up?
No, no.
No, you're trying to get another one?
I was trying to get another one. My daughter wants one, so I had to get another one.
Well, they are nice hoodies. I mean,
they are nice hoodies.
All the Philly stuff is awesome.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
great,
it is.
Great merchandise. It's really, really
it cool. is. I took my son. You know what happened to me yesterday, Ruby? I was telling Joe. Took my son to get a Harper jersey yesterday. Right. He didn't want it.
What did he want?
He didn't want it because it had buttons. And I'm like, dude.
He didn't want to do the work.
I was like,
it's a jersey. He's like, I don't want the jersey. I want a T-shirt. So I got him a T-shirt.
Well, to be fair, T-shirts are easier than buttons. I mean, just think
well,
about
anything
else. Well,
to be fair, and he didn't know this, but he did save me some money. Because, you know, jerseys are more expensive than shirts.
So you didn't push back.
Well, I did. I pushed back a little bit because I'm thinking he has a Sixers jersey. He has an Eagles jersey. And now I was gonna give him a jersey.
Yeah,
he didn't want it.
There's no buttons on the Sixers and
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Zero
but it was
buttons.
I just thought it was weird. I mean, but I let him make his decision. But I just thought it was kind of strange that he didn't want a jersey. Didn't want a jersey.
Well, he got a shirt. He's ready.
Yeah, but his jerseys they just hit different.
I hear you. But you know, listen, his name is Harper, and he got a Harper shirt.
He got a Harper shirt. He definitely got a Harper shirt.
His name's on his back.
And he liked. And you know what's funny? He liked the City Connect jersey. He liked the hoodie.
They're very popular. The
yes, with the kids.
Yes,
yeah,
he
liked that. He
all
liked
right.
it a lot.
I think Self is ready now in North Philly. What's up, Self?
Yo, what's going on? My bad, man.
No, you good. What's
call,
up?
Duty call.
What do you think?
I don't know what's going on with WIP, man, but New York is the most hated town. That's Philly. That's our rivalry team, man. Bring New York. That's what we want. What better narrative is it? Like, I don't understand this we scared in New York talk. I don't care if it's the fans or if it's the players. It's New York. Philly hate New York. That's been since rap music. That's been through sports. Like, I don't understand. This must be a Delco or I don't know what this is. But this ain't a Philly thing. Because Philly don't care who you bring. And we want New York because that's our most hated rival. The only other team we hate more than New York is Dallas.
Well, and it'd be fun, Self.
I'm
I mean,
saying,
like you play it out, like to beat the Mets to start this thing off that ends in a World Series championship, it would be awesome to watch them lose, like to beat them up starting Saturday. I've decided to embrace this. Look, they're a good team and they're on a nice run, but I'm embracing this thing, Self. Let's beat the Mets.
Let me ask you something, Joe. Mm-hmm. What better way to end this year and to beat the Mets in the postseason, and then have like the Yankees in the World Series.
Oh, it'd be awesome! It'd be awesome. I mean, to take down both those teams at once. See, Hugh, now we're talking.
Exactly.
No, I mean, as the setup is great. I like it, but I just don't want the fans to come back.
Well,
listen to me, listen, Self. I need you to know this. I'm not Jack. I'm not afraid of the Mets. I just don't want the annoying fans here. That's it. That's all. That's it.
You something, Hugh?
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you something. When you was a player, right, what team did you hate other than Dallas and their fans?
Oh, anybody that was opposing us from reaching our ultimate goal. Didn't care who it was. I get what you're saying. Yeah. Definitely get what you're saying.
You ain't going to tell me when New York came here, you wasn't chomping at the – I mean, you going to tell me when New York came here, you wasn't – your mouth wasn't watering? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, I get what you're saying. I definitely get what you're saying. Yeah, I get what you're saying. But it's just different now because, you know, as an individual that sits in the stands and had to deal with that, you know, going to the playoffs games with the Sixers and everything and having to deal with the
you're
ordeal.
You're scarred. You're scarred from the Knicks.
No, I just it
you're
was just scarred. Annoying.
Well,
it was annoying. It was super annoying.
But part here's the issue, and Self, it's a good phone call. Part of the issue was a lot of Sixers fans chose to sell their tickets, right? That was a personal decision, but it became a citywide thing. And the second part was, Hugh, the Knicks beat them.
Yeah.
Right? That made it worse. It became clear as that series went on, they were better. I don't think the same thing is going to happen.
Don't get me twisted. I don't want anybody to think I'm mad about the momentum or afraid of the momentum.
You're afraid people think you're scared.
No.
Well, it's coming across that way.
No, Jack is scared.
No, he's terrified.
I'm annoyed. I'm more annoyed than scared.
Well, but Kyle said this a lot the last few days. If we beat the Mets, they have nothing to cheer about, right? If the Phillies go up 3-0 in the bottom of the first
inning. Yeah, take care of your business.
Just shut them up.
Like Rube said, if you take care of your business, we don't have anything to worry about. I'm with you on that. I'm okay with that.
Well, that's the bottom line. And here's the good thing tonight. Regardless of who it is, Ruben, them having to play a game three tonight is, I think, it's significant. I mean, they're going to treat it like a game seven, right? They're going to use everyone available. I know they have one day off tomorrow, but, you know, for Quintana, Tobias Myers, whoever, the starters tonight, they're out for the next few games of this next series. It felt big to me that the Brewers forced that game three tonight.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, they have to utilize as many, assets as they possibly can. If you looked at that KC-Baltimore game yesterday, I mean, reliever after, I think they ended up using, 11 or 12 relievers at the end of that game. And anytime you have to use those guys, it's a plus. Now, at the end of the day, when you get two or three games into that series, that's probably not going to matter as much, but it may as far as their overall effectiveness if they have to use those guys in multiple situations where they have to go back-to-back-to-back.
There's no question. And there's a cumulative effect. I mean, the Mets have been playing doubleheader Monday. You know, they played in Milwaukee two nights ago, last night, tonight again. Eventually, you get worn out. TR in Winfield. What's up, TR?
What's up, man?
TR, how we feeling? What's up?
Man, I'm mad, a little mad at Hugh, man. Hugh, when you touch down in Philly, man, they forgot to tell you. You touch these, put your boots in the ground, man. We want smoke. We always want some smoke in Philly. All right? Just know that. We ain't worrying about nobody coming to Philly. We are the most annoying fans in the world. So I ain't worrying about
that. I don't know, dog. Them Knicks fans was real annoying when they came to town. They were real annoying.
A little bit, but they ain't built like us, though, you know. And furthermore, I'm not worrying about the Mets. Whoever fought to get to this point to play us, they're going to come and get this smoke. We're going to give them the smoke. It's simple
I hear
as that.
You. I got you. I'm with you.
We got Smoking Joe Frazier in Philly. Smoking Joe.
That's
smoke.
Right.
We want the smoke.
You know what? There's another aspect to this that we haven't brought up either. You know, there is a chance, right? Some of their fans will come down here, right? If it's 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, there'll be Mets fans on Saturday if it's the Mets. Hugh, we also could go up there. I mean, game three and four up there in New York.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. We could be just as annoying.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Makes sense.
And furthermore, I want to comment on yesterday. Everybody just one caller talking about how the Eagles had an easy schedule last season and we lost the Super Bowl, yada, yada, yada. Listen, nothing is easy in the NFL or in professional boxing. It's like when guys be talking about Roy Jones and Fortnite, I call people like that air experts, like Joe DeCameron. He's an air expert, always running his mouth against John when John has something to say about football that he's been through, and DeCameron always got something to say. I call them guys air experts. Guys like you and Seth, I don't know why y'all not running some defense and doing some things for you. I don't see that, why they want to hire you guys like in the NBA to hire other basketball players. It's because of you running the Eagles, man. Like, y'all, man. So other than that, man, don't listen to, all you air experts. Listen to the experts, Hugh and all the other guys that's on the air, man. But I ain't worried about no dance, no Mets. When they come to our town, we going to kill them. We going to send them home, get the drop, and have top story news at 6. We're going to sweep them.
There we go. Okay. TR, good phone call, man. We love it. How about that? That just got thrown in there. TR wants you to run the Eagles.
That's not going to happen.
No?
I don't want, TR, I know you said I want all the smoke. I don't want that smoke, man. I don't want folks sliding my DMs calling me a bum every day.
Well, you have
to deactivate
your socials.
No, and
you can't have a social media account running these. The guy that said defense is a luxury, you want him running the Eagles?
And then could you imagine every day? At my press conferences, Joe Giglio did immediately him and Kyle killing
we
me.
We would just.
Did you hear what Hugh said at the press conference? He sounds ridiculous.
We would cut that audio so fast. Did you hear what he said about this fighter?
Nah,
this guy is clueless.
I would not make it. I'm not built. Everybody's not built to lead in that way. You know, you're built to lead in other ways. Kind of like Slay said the other day. I'm on radio for a reason.
Yeah, what is Slay built to lead?
He said he's the captain. He's the captain for a reason.
Yeah, yeah. Sure acted like it this week. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. We're going to be joined by Eric Kratz coming up at noon. Ruben Amaro sticking around until noon. Your phone call's coming up. Do you want the Mets? Get on the record. 215-592-9494. On the other side, we'll dive into some conversation about Topper. He joined the morning show earlier today. We'll play his answers to the second starter decision and the idea of making a change quickly if he notices guys struggling. After the last two Octobers, do you trust Rob Thompson? 215-592-9494. It's a midday show live today from Chicken.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
He's at Pizza South Philly for the Red October Rally. Nothing goes better with Philly's baseball than crab fries and ice cold Budweiser. Online at
swing and a drive right center field. This one is falling. It's a base hit. It'll go up the alley. Rutland will score. Ruiz around third. He is being waved home. The Phillies have won the ball game. Ruiz yes. slides. Rollins has won it. They stream out of the dugout. Yeah. Rollins ball yeah. near third. This game is over as the Phillies Woo. Strike again with two outs in the ninth inning, and they have a 3-1 lead.
One of the best cuts of all time here, a time when Ruben Amaro was running this baseball team. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilley, joined here by Ruben Amaro, Chickies of Pete's in South Philly for the Red October Rally presented by Budweiser. Enjoy ice cold Budweiser and all the Phillies postseason action at Chickies and Pete's. Come on out. We'll be here through 2 o'clock and then the afternoon show is here. It's an all-day postseason Red October Rally. Before we get to the Topper conversation, Ruben, there's so many moments. You know, we played that one with J-Roll up the gap against the Dodgers. There's so many moments. Did you have a favorite from those times, those years back, 07 to 11, like a favorite postseason moment?
Well, obviously that one was a big one yep. for me. I remember, this is crazy, I remember jumping up on top of, on my desk and in my box. And because we didn't pinch run for Chooch in that situation, I was like, man, I think we might need a pinch runner here. And he hits the ball into the gap, and I'm like, oh, my God, if he doesn't score here, I'm going to be so pissed off. I literally jumped up on the desk there and started running with him. Go, Chooch, go! I'm screaming at him. I'm so glad they didn't shoot me in the box because it would have been embarrassing as hell. But that was a big one. And then I got to say that the Matt Stairs home run.
Of course.
That moment for me was, I thought to myself, we're going to win the World Series. Because he did exactly what we got him to do, and in the situation that we needed him to do it, and he did it. And I thought to myself, I literally had tears in my eyes. I said, you know what? We got a chance to win a World Series here, especially we're almost a team of destiny at this point.
It did feel that way. I mean, it was an amazing home run, amazing moment. It just felt like that was the separator right there with your team and that Dodgers team. 215-592-9494. Do you want the Mets? Ruben, you made me think of something there, and I'm curious how it plays out this October, because we've had the last couple years where Rob Thompson has made a lot of good decisions. I mean, I think he's had some great games in the playoffs. I think it's a game one. You and I were there in Atlanta last year where I thought he managed the bullpen amazingly. He pulled Ranger early, and then every button he hit worked.
It was money.
But he's also, Ruben, he's had some moments where his decisions have gone the other way, right? You know, last year, let's say, sticking with Rojas, not pinch hitting for him. You go back to the World Series 2 years ago, pulling Wheeler when he did. And this is every manager. But, Ruben, put your GM hat back on. Would you sit there, because you just mentioned, you know, maybe should have pinch run for Ruiz. In the moment, do you sit there, and do you think Dave might sit there and almost wonder what the manager is doing, and you kind of just hope it goes the right way? Like, what's that mentality like when you build the team, you hope you and the manager are on the same page, but sometimes you're not sure about the decision, like, in the moment?
Yeah, I mean, as a GM, you were sort of you're managing along with the game, you're watching the game, and you're trying to get a feel for how it's going. And yeah, of course. I mean, you're always questioning. You're always questioning and sort of slicing and dicing the decisions that are being made. But I really trust Topper because he understands his players super well. I think he also will learn from the experiences he's had in the past. I just feel like he's a guy that is humble enough and not stubborn enough to sort of make the same quote-unquote mistakes twice. That said, I mean, it's really about the players. They have to perform. You try to put them in the right position to have success, and you hope that they can, that they can rise to the occasion. Sometimes those decisions don't work. Sometimes you make you look like a, you know, genius. But at the end of the day, you can't hit for him, you can't pitch for him, you can't run for him, you can't catch for him.
You can't. You got to put him out there and let him play. 215-592-9494. Hugh, do you have full trust in Topper as we go into October?
Yes, I do. I know some of these decisions will be hard moving forward, but I think that this team is focused. I think they know where they have to be. And plus, like Rube said earlier, this is a veteran squad, man. This is a veteran squad. They know what they have to do. They're focused and they're laser focused. So, yeah, I think everything's going to be fine.
So let me preface this by saying I think Rob Thompson's a good manager. I like him. I'm glad he's the manager. I think he's done a really good job, Hugh, since he took over here.
In a short period of time.
He really has. I mean, they've been in the playoffs all 3 years. He's been in the World Series and NLCS. But I'd be lying if I said I have full October trust in Rob. Like, Rob's an excellent regular season manager, and I think he's been a good – I mentioned –
You're talking about Kershaw stuff?
Well, I just feel like there's been moments in October the last couple of years where I think he's had too much trust in some guys, and it's bit him. And I wonder if, you know, Ruben just mentioned maybe he's learned. I mean, they're right. I think sometimes we look at Topper and we say, well, he's been around baseball forever. But yeah. Ruben, this is only his third year as a manager, right? Even though he's an older person in the game and he's been around the game forever, this is only his third ride, you know, going through it, and really his second full season. So, Ruben, maybe this year he does manage even a little bit differently in October with the experience now.
It's certainly possible. I mean, again, I trust him to understand and know the players and know the situations. And but listen, that's why this game is so great, man. You just have no idea whether the decisions a manager makes, a decision a player makes, a selection on a pitch that a pitcher, you know, makes, or a call from the catcher, if that's the right call or the wrong call or what the case may be. And there's so many different things that can happen, and there's so many events in the game, so many different pitches and things that can happen. That's the beauty of baseball. You can't lock it in. You can't. I would have a tough time if I was a gambler bet on it, because you just don't have any idea what's going to happen. And you can take all the analytics and you can toss them out the window. When it comes to postseason baseball, the heartbeat moves differently, guys react differently, and it's just not the same game. It's a different game, and whether guys can handle it or not handle it, that kind of depends on the situation they're in.
It is, and I think the margin's so thin. It's the first time since 2014 we don't have a 100-win team in baseball. It just feels like a very small line is going to separate the team that wins the World Series this year from who does it. 215-592-9494. Do you have a full trust in Rob Thompson here as we head into October, and do you want the best? Let's hear from Topper. He was on this morning with the morning show and discussing, you know, maybe some things he's learned, what he might do different as we head into this October compared to the last two.
I think I'm staying away from our experienced guys because they've been there before and they know how to make adjustments. But some of our younger guys, absolutely. You know, I think that we have to have more conversations with the coaching staff as to, you know, how the guy's gone, how he's feeling mentally, how he's feeling physically, what the matchups are. But, yeah, I think that, and especially pinch hitting within a game, I think that, you know, that's something that we might move on a little bit quicker.
So, Hugh, that was interesting. That question was from John this morning, really about what have you learned the last couple of years, and will you be willing to take guys out? And I don't know if they mentioned Rojas by name, but I think that was the implication, right? Mm-hmm. Rojas started to drown last year, and they just let him keep playing. Will you be more willing this year to switch it up quicker? That's a huge thing, because I think he has a deeper team this year, so he has options. Last year, and you pointed this out, you know, if the other guys hit, it wouldn't have been on Rojas. But the reality is they stopped hitting. This year, let's just play it out. Let's say Rojas struggles. They have Austin Hayes, right? They have more options.
That's why he's here.
Yes.
That's what he's here for.
So that's my big question. How quickly will he change things up if things aren't going the way you want?
I think he will. I think that this is a situation, Joe, where you never want to second guess the mistakes that you've made from the previous year. But at the same time, You identify where you probably could have did things a little bit different, and you move accordingly. Because as I would imagine as a manager, Rube, that one of the things you never want to do is when you make a move to sit back at the end of the move and say, you know what, I hate I did that or something like that. You have to be confident in that. But I think that moving forward now, he'll probably have a better feel for the situations that he's in, and if he feels this, he'll probably go with his gut, and if it's time to make a move, he'll probably do that.
Well, and Ruben, he has more options now. I think that's a big thing. You know, let's go to the Kimbrel thing last year, right? That really blew up on them. He was running out of gas as the season went on, and in the games in Arizona, he didn't have it. But Ruben, I go back to that and I say, okay, we all wish he didn't pitch Kimbrel, but he didn't have five good relievers down there, right? It wasn't like he had a loaded bullpen. This year, let's just pick someone out. Let's say Estevez struggles. He's got other options down there now.
Yeah, he sure does. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, you got four or five guys that you'd sort of have much more trust in. Even a guy like Jose Ruiz, you have a lot more trust in than you did in the early part
of
the season.
He's been good since the All-Star break.
Outstanding. Really, really good. Again, you don't know how they're going to react in a situation like this in the playoffs against a certain matchup or what have you, but he does have more options. I mean, we can go back to even Jim Fregosi when he ended up putting, you know, Mitch Williams in at the end of the game in Toronto. You know, you make decisions because your gut tells you to do things. You make decisions because of the analytics. You make decisions because you're the manager. That's what you're paid to do. And at the end of the day, it's really up to the players to be able to perform. In the instance of Craig Kimbrel, he just wasn't throwing the ball that well. He wasn't able to command his fastball. He wasn't able to command his stuff. And so he just couldn't get it done. But you're right. I mean, there were not as many options as Topper has now, and I think he feels supremely confident that he can go to any of those guys, whether it's Kirkering, Strom, Estevez, whoever it might be. I think he feels really confident that those guys will get the job done.
215-592-9494. Do you trust Topper as we head into October? He's been a big part of this the last couple of years for the good and for the moments that we want back. I mean, just to be real, we want the Kimbrel moment back. We want some of the Rojas at-bats back. Wheeler and Alvarado in Game 6 in the 2022 World Series. Kyle, back in the studio. Where's your trust level on Topper as we head into October?
So it's high. Pretty much, I think you guys nailed it. Like, he just has more and better options than he has in years past. Like, he has starters that go deep into games. They have a ton of bullpen options. I mean, you can trust Orion Kirkering to come out and pitch a big inning at this point. Estevez, Hoffman, Strom, like, all that. And then, like, the bottom of the bench, like, they have Weston Wilson, who might be, you know, I don't know if he's going to be on the playoff roster, or Cody Clemens. Like, they have lefties and righties that they can play to matchups if they need one late in the game, if Rojas is struggling or you know, Marsh or something like that. Like, they just have more options. So I trust Thompson basically just because I think he has easier decisions to make this time around.
So I think so too, but more power comes more responsibility, right? Like, he's got to hit the right button in the right moment. Let's go to the phone lines here. Mike in South Jersey. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, guys?
How we doing, what's buddy? Up, what are you feeling?
I think we're going to be all right. I don't think anybody could stand in our way these playoffs, if we do our thing, of course.
Well, it goes back to what you're saying, Mike, what Ruben said earlier. It's really more about the Phillies. Like, the Phillies are the Phillies' biggest opponent, not the Mets or the Brewers or the, you know, Padres or Kansas City or whoever the heck we see in the World Series. It's really about, can the Phillies play the way we know they can? That's the story now.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the ball has to go over the plate. So as long as we keep hitting the way we're supposed to be hitting, I don't think anybody can stop us, honestly.
Well, the lineup is, you know, it's a deep lineup. Mike, you trust Topper?
Yeah, I trust him. 100%.
I like that, 100% trust in Topper. Mike, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, Ruben, the lineup, you look at it from top to bottom, and I'm watching the last couple days. I don't see the lineup depth with the other teams in the postseason so far quite like the Phillies have if they're hitting. Right now, at times they haven't hit this year, some of their guys. But I feel better the last month and a half, Ruben, about where JT is. You know, it's his swing has come back post the surgery. And even a guy like Marsh, you know, those two guys in June and July and beginning of August, it's almost like they weren't around or they weren't with the case of JT. The lineup feels deep again the last month to me.
It is the deepest, by far, on paper, the deepest lineup in baseball. It's the most dangerous 1-9 lineup in baseball. There's not even a question about it. It's whether or not they are disciplined enough to be able to pass the baton and allow guys to make mistakes so that they can create big innings, not just with the home run, but with the double, with a base hit, with a stolen base, whatever the case may be. And if they can do that, they got a chance to really do some damage.
Ruben, where do you come down on a decision Topper's going to have to make? And I'm not sure when the first time he'll have to make it is. I'm not sure, you know, which team we're going to see and who's going to be available to pitch. But when an opposing team starts a lefty, one of the things that's kind of gone under the radar last month and a half, 2 months, is a lot of those games, Ruben, Sosa starts that game at second base. Edmundo starts against the lefty. Bryson Stott sits. Do you anticipate that in October?
I think that he's got a lot of decisions to make. I honestly believe that, I think that the best team that they have, the pound for pound, is by putting Rojas in center field, period. Leave him in center field until they get behind in the game and pinch hit for him when you have to.
How about Sosa Stott at second?
I think Stott's going to play second base.
Even against lefties?
I think he's going to play second base. The defense and the other things that he can bring to the table, I think he stays at second base, and I doubt that he will be pinch hit for.
Okay. Julio in Wilmington. What's up, Julio?
Yo, yo.
Who?
What's up, Julio? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys, I want to offer you a functional equivalent, if I can.
Go for it.
1991, Chicago versus Detroit. You know what I'm saying?
Are we talking about the Bulls and the Pistons?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. The Bulls needed to get through the Pistons. That was the real championship. Now, I'm not saying the Mets is the real championship, but the way they beat us the last time we played them was they beat us down good. You know what I mean? No Diddy. But I feel like this is more of a psychological series where I really feel like if we win this series against the Mets, I really feel like we're taking the whole thing.
Well, I mean, Julio, so I think...
That's a lot of baseball still left to be played.
Well, there is a lot of baseball. There's more opponents. But... if they can extinguish the hot team, you'd feel almost invincible.
Confidence build.
Hugh, there are a lot of people who are nervous about the Mets. And we joked about Jack earlier, but there are a lot of people who wouldn't want to see the Mets. I mean, I get it, Julio. They've
been terrified because of the time. I think the record. I forgot. I think it was since June, somewhere. Sometime
it's been
in June.
Right up there as one of the best records of baseball since the London series. Yeah,
and they look like they have the momentum.
Yeah.
And if you notice one thing about teams, because just like in Baltimore, the Orioles were one of the hottest teams all season long. Kansas City, you know, sending them home.
Well, Detroit, too. I mean, Ruben, how about the Tigers? The Tigers were dead in the water. They traded Jack Flaherty at the trade deadline, and then they just dominated for 2 months now.
Just the best story in all of baseball.
Incredible.
And if you can pitch and catch it and get the big base hits when you need to, I mean, another great example of why baseball is the greatest sport in the world. I mean, this guy, they were absolutely, in late August, dead in the water, had like a 2% chance of even getting to the playoffs, and put themselves in a position by just playing good quality baseball and grinding it out. And the fact that there's so much parity in the league,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no super teams. There's no unbelievable teams that you could say, you know what, this is a lockdown World Series ball club. There's just none. And the fact that they managed to do this with one unbelievable starter, some really good bullpen work from A.J. Hinch and his magical way of just kind of working through that that month of September, I mean, and into now, into October. It's just been one of the greatest stories in the game.
It really has. So, Julio, you want the Mets this weekend?
Yeah, I do. I think the 62% of people who said they didn't, I know a good portion of that is in regards to the fans, but I think that's partially cope. But I think it's because I think there's a concern that, you know, sometimes the Phillies can't get themselves out of adversity and, you know, can't really perform, like, just when things get really tight in the game. You know, the game gets really tight at some point as you go on. So I feel like, as a Phillies fan, maybe that could be the concern, you know, why we don't want to face someone like the Mets for that 62%. But again, like, it's going to be a dogfight getting to the series. Like, we should probably just start it with them. You know what I mean?
I think that's a good point you bring up. There's no cupcakes. Julio, we appreciate it. Ruben, you just brought this up with the parody. You know, last year, the Marlins were, I looked at as pretty a soft playoff team comparatively to most years. Ruben, I think the playoff field, it's just, they're all close together. I don't think the Mets are, the Brewers and Mets are both pretty good teams. You said this earlier in the show. There's no easy path, even in the AL, where the two underdogs just won. Kansas City and Detroit are dangerous teams now. I mean, there's no, like, layup in the postseason in baseball. No, they're all good.
They are, and, I mean, they all do the if the teams do the things, again, you know, I'm preaching to the choir probably. I'm probably beating a dead horse down. But if you pitch enough and you catch it enough, you have a chance to win every single day because it just takes one base hit. In the case of Kansas City, it was Bobby Witt getting a base hit. It just takes one play to change the entire series. And if you can do the fundamental things that are necessary, you got a chance to win every single game.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Hinch because I thought he did an incredible job in that series against Houston. He's now managing Detroit. And he had the pinch hit at bat with Ibanez with the big hit to clear the bases yesterday. 215-592-9494. Topper this morning on with the morning show also was asked about the Game 2 starter. Is it going to be Sanchez? Is it going to be Nola? I thought it was interesting, Hugh, to listen to Topper give his thought process. He didn't tell us who it's going to be, but he took us into what he's thinking. Here's Topper this morning on who might start Game 2 and what he's thinking.
Well, you know, I'm not ready to declare it because we still don't know who we're playing. I'm leaning one way, but it could change. But, you know, there's positives, negatives, or whatever you want to call it, to both, whether it's Sanchi or Nola going Game 2. But with Sanchi going Game 2, it splits up the righties, it splits up the lefties. Sanchez's numbers at home are way different than they are on the road, a lot better. You know that Nola can go anywhere on the planet, and he's going to be comfortable pitching in a hostile environment, wherever that is. But, you know, you've got your two experienced guys. If you go Wheeler number one and Nola number two, and you know, you're banking on both those guys going deep in the games. If you have them back-to-back, you think you got a shot at getting a big lead and taking over a series, but you never know.
So, look, he didn't unveil it, Hugh. He kind of wanted to make sure he wasn't going to tell anybody. But it sounded like he was explaining why he might go Sanchez 2, Nola 3.
Well, yeah, because he's thinking about that third game.
Yes.
Because I think Larry Boyle said it best. Wheeler has to win. Zach has to win that first.
Got to get off to a good start.
Got to get off to a first start. I think that's important. And you're trying to, I guess, you're trying to figure out how you want to play that third game. Do you want to go with Nola? Because, like, you can say what you want about Nola. He's been really, really good in the last couple of months. So would you go – he said Sanchez the second, going to potentially second, right?
Ruben, it sounded to me like he was kind of setting up his thought process on if it is Sanchez 2 and Nola 3. He didn't declare it. But that's what I heard, almost saying, like, hey, we split the lefties up and Nola could pitch anywhere. My guess right now is we're going to see Sanchez 2, Nola 3.
So here's my take. If Wheeler and the Phillies win the very first game of this series, they're going to go with Sanchez second. If they don't, they're going to go with Nola. That's how I feel it's going to go.
Do you think that will upset routines?
I mean, no, not at all. They'll be prepared. I know. I'm sure that they've talked to them about these scenarios. And listen, this is all information that they're going to keep in-house. This is information that that there's no need to divulge to any other teams. And they might have to make a call after the first game.
So, Ruben, I actually like that idea, as long as their routine isn't messed up. Because I did think about that. We all think they're going to win game one behind Wheeler, right?
That's the thought. That's what it sounds like, yeah. The thought process
They'll be
is.
Big favorites. He's been amazing since end of July. I think they're going to win game one. But, Ruben, that is the other side of the coin. Like, all right, you kind of I can understand the idea of Sanchez 2, Nola 3. But if you're down 0-1, who do you trust the most? You trust Nola. He's been doing – Sanchez has what, maybe 5 postseason innings of experience? Nola's gone through the last 2 years, and he puts you in the playoffs every year. If it's a tough spot, I want Nola out there.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what they're going to do. I think they happen to lose that first game. I think that they're probably going to go with a guy that they trust. And, you know, you don't want to put that added pressure on Sanchez. You want him to be able to pitch in a situation where he's a little bit more comfortable, and I think that's the route they're going to take.
Let's go to Ziggy in the Lehigh Valley. Hey, Ziggy.
Ziggy?
Ziggy. Ziggy, what's up, buddy?
Joe. Yeah, sorry about that.
All good.
So, listen, I want to start out with a question for Hugh. Hugh, do you think that between now and next week, we can embarrass those corners and kind of force them to play press since it's their option?
What? Oh, okay, Ziggy, question for you. What do you have in mind when you think embarrassment? Because, I mean,
Hugh's interest is piqued here.
No, because it's obvious. I don't think a whole lot can like, if embarrassing your teammates and having people talk about you,
that's not a wrong choice. I don't think you can do a whole lot.
Yeah, because I don't think you can do a whole lot to embarrass somebody after they do something like that.
You're right. Embarrass is the wrong word. I don't know.
Shame?
Bully? Attention? Shame?
Bully? I don't think any of those dogs hunt.
Bring it to their attention. Like, I don't know. Like, if it's an option, like, if Vic says, you know, they kind of play each play how they feel, can't we somehow put it in the back of their mind to press? I mean, you're halfway through your swim move on the line, and the ball's already out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think they got to play more press. How do we get them to put it in their head? You know.
What about the Phillies, Ziggy?
The Phillies, you know, I'll say this about Rojas. For the 100% of the time that Rojas has been here, we've been killing him like 95% of the time. Mm. But imagine, last year he came up from minor leagues, got on the Phillies, and ended up in the postseason. So he has experience now, too. So I don't think we should bail on Rojas. I think we ought to be patient with him because he's coming into this with some experience. He's been there now.
He has. And look, Ziggy, he's a part of it. Whether or not he is the every day, every inning starter, or he comes in for defense, if they win the World Series, he's a part of it. I mean, like he's a piece of this puzzle.
We need that glove. I mean, we need that glove out there. I mean, he's amazing, really. He's really amazing in his fielding.
Well, and he could take away runs. I mean, and I expect a lot of these games. Ziggy, we appreciate him. And I expect a lot of these games are going to be very, very tight. Ruben, we appreciate you hopping in today and being part of the first half of the show. I know you're a busy guy with the series you were doing in Baltimore. Thank you, Ruben.
I really appreciate being here with you guys. It was a blast.
It was fun.
Appreciate it.
It was great. Red October is officially underway. Coming up, your phone calls here. Do you want the Mets? And do you have full trust in Rob Thompson? We'll share reasons for both optimism and reasons for concern later on the postseason. When we come back, we'll talk to our guy, former Phil, Eric Kratz. He joins us next. His take on all of this. Kratz, he joins us on the Midday Show live today from Chickie's at Pete's at South Philly for a Red October rally on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.